This is episode 18 of season 2, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Flavie Moraine and Julie Beretta from La Récolte.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
So this is really interesting because I've actually been traveling in Europe for the past week. And one of the things that I love about coming here is that there are no takeaway coffees. And when I order something like a small pastry, no one shoves it immediately into a bag. The assumption is that I will be consuming right there on the spot, and that means less waste, less packaging, and a smaller footprint. Similarly, it was while traveling that Flavie Moraine and Julie Beretta had their light bulb moments about how to live a more green and sustainable lifestyle. This is when Flavie opened up a bulk shop called La Récolte in Quebec City, Canada. She was working as a waitress on the side while also trying to fund this vision of having this zero waste store in her hometown. Now, La Récolte has two locations and they host a number of events to give others in the community an opportunity to share about sustainable living. Together, both Flavie and Julie have created a community that is steadily growing and helping to change the lives of others. Let's get trash talking. Flavie and Julie, welcome to Trash Talking. Can you both introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit more about what you do?
So I am Flavie Moraine. I am from Quebec City. I am the founder and CEO of La Récolte. La Récolte in English means harvest. It is a bulk food and minimalist store which promotes zero waste in a friendly and flexible approach.
And I am Julie. So I'm from Italy, but I'm part French, part American originally. And I moved to Quebec City in November. And I stumbled across this beautiful project. This is where I've been working since I arrived, so since November. Yeah, so I started selling in the shop, and now I am community manager, so I'm taking care of the internal and external community that revolves around this project, as we realized that there was a big community revolving around this project, and therefore we needed to take care of it.
Awesome. Tell me more about how the shop actually got started.
Well, it's always a hard question because it was a big moment in my life where I had to give a new direction for my life. And so I work onto one project that is quite similar in Australia, which is named The Source. And they're a bulk food store. And so I started to look out for this in Canada because it was like a little light bulb moment where I discovered it was a different way of consuming. So we found that in Quebec, there is a bulk food store, but personally, their values are not really environmental. So for me, it didn't fit. So I worked on the project for about a year, still working as a waitress in a restaurant. And so in December 2016, the opportunity of the emplacement arrived, and so I jumped in it. And so La Récolte is now in place since December 2016.
Amazing. Flavie, you mentioned that the bulk stores in Canada weren't in line with what you were looking for. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that place, they give plastic bags to the clients, so people are not, they don't have to bring their jars, they're not really encouraged for it. They are now starting to diss a little because they discover as well that the zero waste and the environmental movement is getting so big. But for me, it was very important that as a start, the goal and the mission of the store was people to reduce the packaging, reduce their waste. So they had to bring their own jars. They had to bring their cotton bags and reusable containers.
Super cool. Why was this so important to both of you? Like, what did this spark for you?
I don't know. It was in line with all my values. I studied in international development, but more in the humanitarian field, maybe. And so I always had this desire to make a difference in the world. That seems a little cheesy, maybe. But I knew that my job and the hours I would spend living my life had to have an impact in some kind of way. Finding this bulk store and this new way of consuming, for me, I've always been passionate about the environment. Like I do a lot of sports in nature. I like mountain biking, I like surfing, I like skiing, I like all of this thing. And for me, this is like a play field, if that's how it's called. I think it's a bit selfish to use a planet like this and like use its nature, use its resources and not give back. So for me, it opened like a big vision of all of this. And so it had to be in line with my values. I needed to have a job that would make a difference. And I needed to create a job as well, because before that, it's a funny story, but I looked for a job in my field for about a year, and I had no one gave me back for some interviews or nothing. So it was kind of meant to be. So I found this opportunity. I created myself a job, and now we're just creating more jobs and creating more impact. So that's pretty much what is motivating me to continue in all this.
Yeah, so cool. So Julie, when you came to Quebec City and was looking for a job, what is it that you're looking for?
I was just coming back from a year. I had spent a year traveling. I spent 6 months in Asia and 4 in South America, getting involved in all sorts of sustainable projects, even though I was taking the plane a lot, which is kind of ridiculous. But I realized that was the outcome of my year, was to realize that taking the plane was not necessarily the most sustainable approach to my journey. My desire to move here, so I moved here with my husband, and our desire was to get involved in some sort of sustainable project. And it was very difficult to find a response back home. And when I found this place, it was perfect, because what's mainly different about this shop is that it's very beautiful. It's very nice, which means it attracts all sorts of people, not necessarily the people who would care about sustainability in the first place. And so you see, I saw an opportunity to help people in this transition, including myself. Like, first of all, it was a response to what we were looking for. We were looking for a different way of consuming. So it gave us an opportunity to reduce our waste. And working there also meant accompanying people in this transition.
That's great. I'm curious though, when you were looking for a project, what exactly did you search for? Like, what did you put into the search engine when you're trying to search for jobs that were sustainable?
I was looking for anything that could give me some sense of, like, I wanted to use my energy towards something that is meaningful, where the outcomes were positive for the people I worked for, the people I worked with, and the environment, and also made me happy. And I got all these responses. So I wasn't looking for a specific project. At the beginning, I was thinking more something that was geared towards urban agriculture. Turns out my husband found that part, and I felt like this complemented it really nicely. So how to reduce waste, and there's a whole dimension behind the bulk. Like, we sell bulk products, but we don't only do that. We have a whole space that has that enables people to do workshops and give tips. We're going to start developing, like, using the space also for people to share their stories, maybe to do little projections, to be able to talk about sustainability. Like, we're basically creating a platform for people to exchange on the sustainability matter. And I'm really interested in that as well, that it's a whole place where people walk in and they also want to know how to make a difference. They also know how to consume. They want to know how to consume differently. So they step into the shop and they ask questions and they find us. And then other clients listen to the conversation and they jump in. And so it ends up being a place where, like, kind of like the market, you know, like how back in the days people used to go to the market. It was a place where you actually talk to other people. This is what happens in this place. It's not at all the experience that you have at the supermarket. It's completely different.
And we have found also that people trying to change their way of consuming sometimes find themselves a bit alone in this. Like, it is not because sometimes you want to make this change, but it is not because you have friends or family or your environment is telling you to. It's some more something that is internal. So people come to us and they kind of find a community where they can, like Julie said, share their challenge regarding their new way of consuming, their fears, their achievements as well. So it's creating something bigger than just like grocery stores selling bulk. It's more like creating a community where people can fall into our arms and we can help them growing in this.
Makes sense. And how did you actually find Flavie's shop?
Oh, actually, physically, I just walked by, like, stars were literally aligned. I came to Quebec, this was the last bit of my journey, and we decided to spend 4 days here because I had lived here back in 2013, and I just came to say hi, basically. I wanted to see my friends, and turns out my friends had a spare apartment above where they live, and they did Airbnb there, and they were like, you know, eventually, if you were interested to move back to Quebec, we have a spot. And right next to their apartment was the first shop that Flavie created. So now there's two shops, but the first one that she created back in 2016 is like literally across from the street. So this is how I found it. I saw it, I saw the concept, and I was amazed because it's so simple. It's so simple, and yet I had never thought about it. And even though we have all sorts of bulk products in Rome, it's not towards an ecological goal. It's people do it culturally. Like, we go to the market, you could find like bulk rice or pasta or whatever, but it's the idea is not to bring your own container. The idea is, I don't even know, it's just cultural.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the part about it being cultural, because I think that buying in bulk actually used to just be how people did it. And a lot of sustainability in general feels like we're moving back to how things used to be done. It's actually really this movement of not just focusing on convenience, but, you know, how do I plan ahead and how do I be really conservative about what I'm doing? So there are definitely times when I do certain things like sprouting my own seeds or using cloth bags. And even my mom will comment that it's how she did things when she was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. It's a way of finding how our grandparents used to do it, our older generation used to do it, because bulk was not maybe like a movement, it was just the way to do it. Everyone used to buy like this, and at some point we just took a turn to over-packaging stuff for health reasons, non-health reasons. We were not sure exactly why we took this turn, but now I think most of people are realizing that it's just not possible to continue in this way.
No, it's actually interesting. I was thinking about this because we have so many elderly people who walk into the shop and who find it really amazing. And all of a sudden they have this childhood memory, or they have a memory from the past. And all of a sudden they realize, oh my God, we moved away from how we used to do things, because actually this is how we used to do it. And so it got me thinking about how I always think of Italy as we are, like, Canada is so ahead of us in so many ways, and yet because we are behind in a way, we're spared from a lot of the packaging still, because people still go to the market. We still have that culture, and we don't have takeaway coffees. We don't have that culture. Whereas here, it's a whole different battle. Find a lot of awareness, but the downside is you also have an overconsumption, and I found it interesting to notice that.
No, you're right. And you've hit on so many things. It is partly cultural, but another part of it is just marketing. So, like, as a company, how do you make more money? Well, you package things differently and then you call it a premium product.
Exactly.
Talk to me about these community events. I'd love to hear more about what these events actually entail.
When we talk about community, we talk about different communities, I guess, that end up being all the same. It's the internal community, so employees, including ourselves, and then we have the clients. And so we're trying to merge both communities into one. So last week we organized our first plugging event. I don't know if you know what plugging
is. Yeah, but you can explain it.
The idea is to jog while collecting waste around the city. So we did that and it was a success. And so we only did that internally to start with. And we're organizing the second one open to everyone on 20th. And so we've encountered a lot of interest so far. We'll see how it goes. This is one kind of event that we organize. And then we have this beautiful space in the second shop that Flavie opened that is dedicated to workshops. So we have people sharing their skills about food, for example. So how to make vegetable milk, how cheese made from nuts, and juices and how to make your own soap, how to make your own shampoos. The beauty of it is that once you finish your workshop, you can get all the ingredients in the boutique because everything is there. Everything is made available for you. My new project is, well, our new project is to start dedicating this space also to sharing skills and knowledge and giving an opportunity for people to really get in touch with that community. So organizing small TED Talks for people to share whatever project they're working on or whatever challenge they're facing into becoming more zero waste and encountering a certain feedback. That is the idea.
So these events are geared towards teaching people how to live a more sustainable life, but I'm interested to hear how the two of you actually became more aware about living sustainably and the type of lifestyle that you're currently living.
There is definitely a trend right now about the zero waste movement, and people are realizing that we have to do something about the environment because, well, in Canada, in Quebec City, we've experienced like crazy winters during last year's very hot summer months, and it was not totally like this before. And so people are realizing that something is happening. There is a discussion about all of this around the globe, I think, about the environmental issues. I think everyone is becoming more and more aware of this. There's this trend about this zero waste movement that get people in, and as much as trends are, I don't see them so good there, this is a good trend because what I hope is that maybe it's a trend right now and people do it not totally for the right reasons, but at some point they will realize the impact that they are doing and implement those changes in themselves, in their way of consuming, in their everyday life, and that will continue in the future.
Yeah, I think the same. I mean, it's kind of how our shop works as well. Like, people see it initially because it's cool and it looks beautiful and step in for that reason. Like, a lot of people step in for that reason in the first place. And then they start understanding the point of buying this way. First boutique, it also depends on the neighborhood. Our first boutique is in a more environmentally conscious neighborhood. I guess a lot of people who grow their own food, and so they're kind of closer to nature. But in the second shop, it's a more conservative neighborhood, I would say, in a way, with elderly people, and they step in for one reason that ends up being a different reason from the one for which they come back.
Well, but when did it happen for you when you realized that the environment was something that was important that you wanted to work on?
Well, for me, it was all, I think, at the same moment. It was a big breakthrough when I found out that there was a way of consuming differently. For me, it was like planting little seeds, and where I was always aware of the environment. But at some point I said, okay, I want to do more. And then I started thinking about this business and like developing it. And for me, it was professional and personal development where I planted the seeds, and now there's no way I'm going back to anything. So it was both for me the same thing, and not the same thing, but the same time. And can't imagine doing it differently right now. I can't imagine being somewhere else neither.
Yeah, for me, it was actually, I think my grandparents as well were very much ahead of their time. So I was in an environment with people who were really conscious about, mainly food was the main concern in our homes, food, but also my mom also always recycled all sorts of jars, and she would bring it to the person who would make the tomato sauces, and like she would always do that. So I was in a very environmentally conscious home, but I didn't even realize that I was. And then I moved away from it because you grow up and then you go to university and whatever, you imitate whatever is around you. And then I ended up in Canada in 2013, and I met a lot of people that I really admired. And all these people were talking about the environment a lot. And actually, it's interesting because it's my friend actually from Canada gave me my first menstrual cup, and I was like, whoa. And I had never thought about how much of a difference this could make. And all of a sudden it triggered something, and I traveled with her and she was a vegetarian, and so this triggered something else. And then little by little I started getting more and more interested. I started practicing a lot of yoga, and so I got closer to myself and to my needs, and then one thing leads to another, and as Flavie says, it becomes very difficult, actually impossible, to unlearn what you've learned and to move back.
Yeah, for sure. What kinds of things would you recommend to someone who is maybe just learning about this movement and trying to live a more sustainable lifestyle?
The way we promote it is doing one thing at a time and respecting ourselves in it. Like, everyone has their limits, and I think it's very important to respect those limits. And if you do one thing one day, so you started buying bull, the next day try something else, and the next day you'll try something else. And at some point, everything you will have changed won't be a big weight. It will just like be a path. You won't feel the weight of changing things. And this is not how we want people to feel in it. We want people to do one thing at a time and feel good about it. And you cannot not feel good about this, because you know you're doing something good. So you see the difference it makes, but you see also this little something, this little moment of happiness and pride that you find in doing efforts for the environment.
Yeah, and I think being inclusive as well and being respectful of the rhythm of all the people who are going through this transition. Not everybody can be at the same stage at the same time. So I think you need to be respectful exactly towards yourself, but also towards other people around you who might not be at the same stage when you understand something. Not everybody might have understood it. And you need to be very loving in this change, because otherwise it becomes a fight, and I don't want to live it as a fight.
I agree. What kind of challenges have you two faced in trying to live a more sustainable lifestyle? I know it's definitely not easy sometimes, especially when you're busy and you live in the city, to actually like live sustainably. So what are those challenges, and how did you guys like push through?
Well, the challenge is every day that you go to the supermarket then to buy veggies during the winter. We don't have those markets where we have local producer. It's just like fruits and veggies that are imported, and they're all super like overpacked. And it's trying to make those choices that sometimes, yeah, you want this zucchinis, but there's no way you're buying them because there's too much plastic around them. And it's the everyday choices that you make and that you own also, that you have to go, you get some food to go out, and then you want to go to get sushis or something like that normally comes in plastic box, but now you bring your containers to them and they look at you as like, what are you doing? And then you explain them like, what's your idea behind this? And while some people think it's a really good idea, some other people gives you this look as like, you're crazy. So it's pretty much every day when you try to change this mentality and you try to do something different, and it's just like owning your choice and going for it.
We live in this little bubble with our, you know, our boutique. Everybody in the shop is working in the shop is very much aware, and we're, you know, like, you don't need to explain anything about selecting the trash, and everybody is aware, everybody is careful. And then you step out of the shop and you realize that there's a whole world outside, and at times this can be very challenging, because you kind of have to remember that not, like, we feel that everything is changing because within the shop we're all together in this, and then you step out and sometimes you might have that sense of loneliness, that actually there's still a lot of work to do, and that side of us wants to go slowly and be loving and be gentle in this transition, and another side is the pressure that we don't have enough time, and that we actually need to try to get people to be more and more and more aware as fast as possible. I think this is also a big challenge.
Yeah, and so how do you continue to stay inspired to do the work that you're doing? I know I've definitely had that experience where you bring your own container at a restaurant and you ask them to use it and they tell you no, and you can walk away from the business, but it still kind of sucks. So how do you stay inspired through moments like that?
It's as I said before, once you planted this seed, there is like, as an ostrich? I don't know Russian, but yeah, you hide yourself. In French, is like hiding like an ostrich, where the ostrich puts his its head in the ground when there's a lot of wind. That's a funny metaphor, I'm sorry. But like, that's something you cannot do. And like, as I said, you own your choice, and you're just, well, that's the thing. Also, I represent myself as La Récolte. I think I have the duty to show people that you can do it differently, and that's kind of what keeps me going.
Yeah, and I think because we are we're a powerful community within the shop, and it gives me a lot of strength. And if it didn't work this time to suggest, you know, like, come on, put it in my container, it didn't work once, maybe try again, maybe try with a different approach, maybe try in a different, I mean, I always try to remove myself from my emotion in that situation and think bigger and think about the mission and think about what my ultimate goal is. And sometimes you lose it. It also happens with some clients. I mean, we also have people walking in the shop, like, willing to provoke, willing to criticize the only thing that might not be in line with what they expected the shop to be. Like, a lot of people think our shop is all about everything being organic, and everything isn't organic because we can't possibly offer decent prices for all the organic products that we have. Or sometimes we find organic but we don't find local, so we want to make sure that we have a large offer. And some people step in and they're like, why isn't everything organic, you know? And you kind of have to take a deep breath, and ultimately what you want them to do is to stay and understand what we're trying to do and actually be part of our movement. So when you think of this, it gives you strength to move ahead.
Yeah. Have you had any inspiring moments out in nature or with the work that you're doing?
And again, it's pretty much every day seeing clients get in the store and like almost screaming like their happiness of like having found a place where they can finally like live the way they want and like having fun. Like, either our clients, either our employees that right now are loving their jobs, or they're saying so. I want to believe them. Seeing everyone smiling, laughing at inside of the in the shop is, for me, that's a personal moment, or like a moment of success, because it's even bigger than just the first mission that La Récolte had. It's just like making people happy is just, it feels good, and it feels good doing it in a way where the environmental is taken care of. So it's like, it's a win-win situation.
Definitely. I think we have a lot of moments of happiness and inspiration, and seeing that the approach that we're taking works. This is also a massive satisfaction, because sustainability is a large term, right? Like, it's not only the environment, but it's taking care of everything towards reaching a better environment in every sense. Even in our work, it's everything that happens behind the shop. Like, if everybody is happy, then everybody works in a different way. And this is very important. And when we see that the dynamics are working, and that the ways that we try to keep our employees and make them happy and encourage them to be the best version of themselves, this is also a way to be sustainable. And when you see results, when you see that people take initiatives and try to spread the message, that is a big satisfaction.
Amazing. Well, Julie and Flavi, thank you so much for being on Trash Talking. Definitely we'll link you guys in the show notes so people can check out more about the project that you're doing. How cool and inspirational are those two? I love it when you hear about people who could so clearly see what they need to be doing to help make the planet a greener place, and they never give up on that dream. The determination that Flavi and Julie shared made me feel so inspired to just open up my own project and help build this kind of community as well. Speaking about community, if you love hearing this type of inspiring content and stories like Flavi and Julie's, support Trash Talking by becoming one of our sponsors. For as little as $2.99 a month, you can help us continue to make the amazing content that you hear on this show. Don't forget, if you become a supporter before the end of the month, you will actually get a personal shout out from me on the show thanking you for becoming a supporter. Other ways to help support is by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show, and following us on social media. We're Trashy Beauty Co. at Instagram and also on Facebook. Thanks for listening again, and stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.